trainer Mark Hennig. He sends out Fountain of Youth runner-up Bourbon War in today's Florida Derby, looking to turn the tables on Code of Honor and everybody else. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming over, too. Busy morning for you. We appreciate you stopping by.
Well, we got lucky. The track closed early, so it worked out well.
Nice cap, by the way.
Thanks.
The Bourbon Lane cap, the Bourbon War on the side.
Yeah, they just came up with those.
Sipping on a little bourbon this morning or no?
No. I don't think I've ever had bourbon.
Really?
No.
Will you if he wins the Florida Derby today?
I might have a sip.
They might pour a bottle over his head.
Look, I mean, that last race, so spectacular. He was motoring home. Most people thinking, okay, now he gets an extra furlong to run today, going a mile and an eighth. He might get a fast pace set up again. A lot of things working in his favor this afternoon. Your thoughts on that last race?
Well, For me, the takeaway, I obviously liked the gallop out. More importantly to me, I liked his last 70 yards, the way his head just was dropping. He was getting lower and lower, and you could just see that he had switched leads and transitioned off the turn. The wire does come up early, and you could see that he was very focused on what he was trying to do. And I thought as he got to just in the last 50 yards, I mean, he just lowered his head and was so focused on trying to get there. And he was, I mean, I thought he was gobbling up ground really quickly. Maybe Shug's horse was waiting on him a little bit, but he almost waited too long, you know.
You hear people say, get low for the dough. Talk about that a little bit, about how a horse, you know, gets low when they're running hard.
Yeah, I mean, especially to watch a young horse do that. You know, I mean, you can watch this horse train in the morning, and if you don't give him a target, he's just going to kind of go through his paces and do what he does. I just thought that was very impressive, you know, and coming off of that, you know, the way he did gallop out, you know, it did factor into the way we were going to train going forward, because I thought he actually, you know, extended himself further after the wire than the rest of them. So, you know, the main thing was we're coming back in 4 weeks. We'd had 6 weeks and 6 weeks in the two races prior. So I thought, you know, if we run here in 4 weeks, we got 5 weeks to the Derby. You know, if we can get the points, the main thing now is just try to keep him fresh for today, in the last 4 weeks, that, you know, do a little work, but keep him fresh enough that we aren't squeezing the lemon too early.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Hopefully we did it right.
Is that a difficult thing? Is it different, balancing
it's,
act?
It's always different for different horses. You know, some of them come out or take races harder than others. He was eating great, you know, giving us all the signs and great energy in his gallop. So, you know, I felt like we were keeping him at that level, you know, where hopefully he doesn't move backwards at all.
If you were to pick a word or two words to describe Bourbon War, how would you do it?
Quirky and talented.
Quirky. How come?
Well, he's just got, you know, he's a very oral horse. I mean, he's always wants to have something to play with and he's just got his quirks in the stall mostly. He's great on the racetrack. He's perfect. He doesn't ever make a mistake out there, but he sticks his tongue out all the time, curls it up though when he sticks it out. He flips it over and curls it. And if, you know, you think most horses, when they do that, you play with their tongue. He baits you, and then he snaps like a snapping turtle.
So, it's like a fishing lure.
Yeah, exactly. I told him, I said, one of these days you're going to forget to put your tongue away before you snap.
That's funny how they have those little habits, you know. But and that all plays into the happiness thing, right? As trainers, we always say, you know, you got to keep them happy and fit, right?
Right.
So, and when you're lightening up on a horse, sometimes if you lighten up on them too much, they get a little rambunctious, and then you have to go back. It's a balancing act, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and with him, I just, you know, I think he needs you got to keep throwing new things at him. Like if we move his, he's got a few balls hanging in the doorway and stuff, and he likes it when you move one away or hang a double snap, you know, just on a screw eye so he can fidget with it. You know, he's just that kind of horse. And the new to play with, you know. So
I've always thought, like, the best horses are the intelligent ones. And you've been around so many great horses, you know, when you worked for Wayne and in your own stable. Do you find that to be the case?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, the ones that pick up their lessons quickly and they know what they're know what's being asked of them. And sometimes, you know, like in this case, I think he was smart enough to know the difference between morning and afternoon. And he honestly didn't turn us on much through the summer. Last summer, there were times when we were like a little concerned. You know, we got this tappet, the pretty expensive tappet that's not showing a whole lot. But he, you know, he's just one of those horses. At times he'd work well and other times he wouldn't. But, you know, ever since he ran, he's been totally focused. So, but that's why he paid what he did on that first start.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's it like for a trainer to be on the Derby trail with a talented three-year-old like this?
It's great. I mean, I've fortunately been a little involved the last few years. We had a horse, Beasley, a couple years ago that we thought was capable of being in these kind of races, and we took him to Tampa for the Tampa Bay Derby. Last year we had Strike Power, who was kind of like the complete opposite of what we're dealing with this year. You know, last year we were like, we knew he had a lot of talent and a lot of speed, but were we really going to be able to get the mile and an eighth? And we, you know, the owners, Mr. Adam, and to his credit, he said to me, between the Fountain of Youth, which we had just finished second in, and the Florida Derby, he said, "Mark, I don't really think he can go a mile and a quarter, but you know, I think we got to win, run 1-2 in the Florida Derby. Otherwise, I don't think that the horse belongs, you know, in the Kentucky Derby." Which I thought, you know, it's just a tribute to his wisdom and knowledge of the game. But and he was right. I mean, you know, the horse is just one. You could look at him and kind of see he's not that kind of horse. He's a middle-distance kind of horse.
He wasn't really cut out for that, but a lot of times owners want to press on, and that's the worst part. You've trained for him for a long time, so I'm sure you've taught him a few things along the way.
He's teaching me every day.
Mark Henning with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, you've had the privilege to be part of that Kentucky Derby one other time, 1993. Yeah. Can you believe it's been 26 years since Personal Hope?
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He's only 32.
I looked that up, and I said, you had to be kidding me. The guy's not that old.
Yeah, 26 years ago. And I, you know, certainly if we're fortunate enough to get back there, I think I definitely will appreciate it a lot more than I did at that age. You know, I think
how old were you?
To tell the young guys as they're coming up, if you're fortunate enough to have these kind of horses at that age like I was, you know, soak it in, because it doesn't last, you know. And I was 27.
27. Yeah. Did you think it would take you 26 years to get back there again?
Oh, no,
maybe?
I thought I had it made.
This is going to happen every year.
Yeah, that's what I say. Just take it in and appreciate everything that comes your way.
It is funny when you look back, because I've known you a long time. I don't know, over 30 years, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And you look back at you know, what you did or whatever, and you just can't believe the time has passed that quickly. You know, it's amazing. Because horse trainers have that memory, like we remember all the good stuff.
Right, right.
Right? The bad stuff we kind of try to forget. But,
and I think, honestly, if you did, we've got the kids. I think the kids make you realize you're getting older more than anything else. Because otherwise it just seems like yesterday.
You know?
So, we're hoping to be part of the trail.
What does being in the Kentucky Derby mean for a trainer?
You know, the year we went with Personal Hope, Mac Miller won the race for the Melons.
Sea Hero?
Yeah, and Lee Lewis. If you go back and look, we ran Personal Hope without Lasix, because that was that time when you really didn't want to run a stallion prospect on Lasix. But he could have. I guess I should have run him on Lasix, but he turned for home. He turned for home. You know, Gary Stevens was sitting on him with a, you know, just looked like he hadn't moved, looked like a statue at the quarter pole. I've got a picture of it in my house going by the quarter pole, and Gary's just like this. So, but Sea Hero went by him that day, and Lee Lewis, who I still train for, and he's one of my best friends, said to me after that race, he said, you know, I guess it, you know, we just got to wait a few more years. We were both younger guys at the time. And he said, you know, look at Mr. Mellon and Mac Miller. He said, they've put in their dues. So You know, hopefully now, a little later, I'm not quite as old as Mac Miller was then, but
well, you're not even close.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it'd be a whole different statue in the paddock at Saratoga, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be just amazing. And that every trainer will tell you that is one experience that if you're lucky enough to have it, it's an experience that makes you want to come back and do it over and over and over again. Is that a true statement?
I think it is. But, yeah. You know, I've never been in a – I've had horses that could have gone that way and never tried to force them. You know, I think in 26 years in between, you know, I probably – this is the horse that I would feel most confident that I've had. I had a horse named Eddington that was kind of trying to get the points. He was third in the Gotham, and he's a very talented horse later. But, you know, he wasn't mentally probably ready for it at the time. And so, you know, I feel like we've got the horse. And
a mile and a quarter with this horse shouldn't be an issue.
Let's hope not. We've got to get the mile and eighth first and take one race at a time.
Yeah, we're talking about the Derby like we're sitting here Derby week, right? Yeah, we've got another Derby
well,
to take
care of. Most definitely, exactly. Yeah, we aren't in yet, and, you know, we need to. Our main goal today is get some points and move forward.
Have you seen anything different with this horse coming out of that Fountain of Youth from that time to now? Are there any significant changes, or is he still kind of the same horse that he was there?
I would say he's gotten more into the feed tub. He's a horse that's still developing. He wasn't a real big two-year-old, and, you know, I think he's growing. He's been growing all winter and filling out, too. So, but his appetite's been excellent since the Fountain of Youth. His gallops and stuff, I think, are great. I kind of – his last breeze, I was telling my wife, I was kind of looking for a little quicker breeze in his last breeze. And I think in hindsight, if I'd have put him in some – just given him a little target to run at, it probably would have – he definitely would have worked faster. But the way his energy's been since the breeze coming up to the race, I told her, I said, you know, I think it was just – good luck that he worked exactly the way he should have, because I wouldn't change a thing now.
You give a leg up to jockey Irod Ortiz Jr. He's been aboard this horse each of the last three times. He knows him very, very well. When a trainer comes into the paddock and the jockey comes walking down, do you have to say much to him, or do you just say, hey, go get it done?
I don't need to tell him much. I mean, he's been on this horse, you know, and in these races, he's actually given me more confidence in the horse than I had on my own starting out. I mean, I you know, when he broke his maiden, it was kind of a surprise. I was in Aruba. You know, we
oh, the life of Mark Henning.
Wow.
We didn't, you know, we weren't anticipating that he would, you know, be this kind of horse necessarily, because he really hadn't shown that in the mornings. But, you know, ever since that race, Rajiv Miraj texted me in Aruba and said, that's a special horse. And he was really, really high on him. I'm like, you know, what is he talking about? You know, this horse has never shown me he was special. But, you know, I think since then, ever since he ran, it's just like, boom, the light's on. This is what I've been doing all this training for. And I didn't breeze him between that race and the Remsen because it was really short rest. And so when we had Irad, we got Irad on him because we were going to be coming to Florida and we wanted to have Irad, who was going to be in Florida. And Irad got off of him that day and he was fourth and he, you know, kind of came out of the gate sluggish. He got slammed on both sides and, you know, almost went to his knees. And Irad came back and he said, this is a really good horse to me that day. And wow. I'm like, you know, that's too top riders telling you that he's a really good horse. And he said, I gave him a lot of schooling today because he said the opportunity presented itself. And he said, and then after the allowance race, he said to me, he came back and he said, he just pointed at him and he said, this horse is very talented. And he said, he said all of the lessons he got in the Remsen paid off in that allowance race. And so I think he's got the utmost confidence in the horse, and that's great feeling as a trainer because, I mean, we've legged up a lot of riders that didn't have confidence in their mouth going out there. So I feel very good about having Irad on him.
Here's the way it works for me. I'm so superstitious, Mark, that I would feel like after he broke his maiden and you were in Aruba, I would need to watch every race that he ran from Aruba. I would be sitting in Aruba right now watching the Florida Derby. Well, listen, man, we appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy day for you, so we'll let you get to it. But all the best with Bourbon War, not just today, but moving forward as well, and all your horses.
All right.
You do a great job, so keep it rolling.
Thanks, guys. You guys do an excellent job, too.
All right. Oh, and you know what? Before we let you go, real quick, we're going to give you a gift from Embrace the Race, and I brought this personally for you, an officially licensed HRN Embrace the Race
cap.
And it licensed because we got them from those guys. So.
Great. Wonderful. That's nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right.
And go get it done.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Mark Henning here on HRRN.